my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Names. I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
Let's I'm go. Scott Sidlow, and I'm a junkie with a trading problem.
I'm Jagger Main, and I'm currently having withdrawals from trading right now. That's all I can think about.
Yeah, that can be tough too. So, but welcome in everybody. Session 309 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. So back here again, got my guy Scott Sidlow with me again. Scott, how you doing tonight?
What's going on, man? I was getting a little nervous because I got a message from Russ, and you know, he's like, yeah, I'm jumping back on this week. I'm on it, whatever. And I was like, dude, you're not taking Jagger from me. That is just not right. And I was going to be so mad. And then, you know, I realized it's his show, so he can kind of do that. And then I also realized the message was from like 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, if you message me anywhere, I'm just reading them now from 2 weeks ago or maybe even longer. But anyway, good to be here.
I mean, I'm Let's starting to it. Wonder, is it his show? I mean, he's never here anymore. He just pops in once a month.
That is true.
I think it's our show now, Scott.
Interesting. Okay, well then. six out of eight, I think. So what's the statute of limitations for that? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. Right. But on our show tonight, we have a great guest, as many of the recent guests have been. Not to put down the less recent guest, but we have Jagger May. Jagger, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I'm Jagger. You can catch me in the Twitter streets at Fantasy Blue Chip, and I'm at Football Guys. Right now we're in prospect season, so I'm cutting up a lot of prospect videos with my boy Alfredo. And then I'm a meme lord, so if you want some giggles and some chuckles, come find me.
Love that. Okay, and Jagger's been on before, so we don't need to do the interview tonight, but we do have to get into the news brought to you by Frank. As usual, there's not a lot going on this week, so what I'll do is what we've been doing recently, other than kind of the first big free agent week, is I'll just sort of read everything, and if you guys see anything that kind of sticks out at all to you. The only thing I was going to mention myself, because I threw this on here because it happened today. I just had to – Cordarrelle Patterson signing with the Steelers because, of course, he does. Arthur Smith. Does this mean everybody in Pittsburgh is now dead as Cordarrelle Patterson somehow gets 15 touches a game?
First thing on my calendar for tomorrow morning is send mass trade offers for Jalen Warren.
I just thought it was
That's
hilarious.
A great idea, actually. That is a great idea. I'm hoping this is a depth move. Let's put it this way. I don't think anything is dead yet. Like, if.
Yeah, I was Arthur Smith, mostly joking.
Yeah. Well, I know some people are already, like, already on the cliff. Yeah, they're like, all right.
It's because Arthur Smith loves him some CPAT. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Atlanta 2 Electric Boogaloo. But, like, for me, I'm hoping this is a depth thing because I'm realizing who is the Steelers' third running back is like Benny Snell, Anthony McFarlane, something like that. Like, who cares?
Jalen Samuels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. None of those guys have even played in 3 years. I have no clue. Yeah. Just making up names.
Maybe Snell. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I saw someone said today in another chat that was in there. McFarlane is now in the UFL. USF. Oh. What's it called now? UFL, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. But yeah, so I just wanted to joke about that because I just think it's hilarious that Arthur Smith brings in Cordarrelle Patterson. But the other little pieces of news that have happened since last show, of course with Frank's commentary, Jets signed Mike Williams. Don't think this stops them from drafting a wide receiver. Tush Push made legal as well, still legal for 2024.
It was never not going to be. I don't know where people got that, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he asked, good for Hurts, bad for Barkley. Jerry Jeudy, 3-year, $58 million extension, which I think I've heard only like 14 of that is guaranteed or something like that.
Woof.
Yeah. Says maybe shows Browns are all in on him. Any views? Dante Foreman to the Browns, second running back signing this offseason. Frank says it would scare him as a Chubb owner, and now four running backs on the depth chart. Damian Harris retiring, which just happened the other day, and mentions that Ty Johnson and Darrington Evans are all that's behind James Cook. So he's wondering if they don't draft someone, could Cook be a league winner? And then a couple minor QB notes, but Gerard Mayo saying Jacoby Brissett could be the starter next year, and Antonio Pierce saying Aiden O'Connell has earned the right to compete for the starting job. So that is the quote unquote news. Any one or two pieces of any of this stick out for either you two guys to, in terms of fantasy and dynasty?
Mike Williams matters a little bit. I agree with, I don't think this should stop them from drafting a wide receiver, because I know people show me numbers and Mike Williams hasn't been as injured as we think, but I think as a football standpoint, he's not there enough. So they should hedge their bet. Everything else doesn't matter to me. Jerry Jeudy, I don't feel anything about this. Cause like you said, 14 million, like that they could chop him tomorrow, you know, like it doesn't really matter. It does. You know? So, and Deontay Foreman, this makes me like, to be positive, yes, it's a negative against Chubb, but I think this is a positive for Jerome Ford.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Judy's actually $41 million guaranteed. So, just going 41? On SpotTrack.
I don't think that's right. It's on SpotTrack?
SpotTrack is...
I don't even think that's what was reported initially, was $41 million guaranteed. Are you sure you're reading that right, Scott?
It's 3 years, $52 million, $6 million signing bonus, $41 guaranteed. It seems insane. But any contract,
I think the initial reports weren't even $41 million guaranteed, so I'm surprised by that. Then I saw something else that came out, but
it's their option bonuses essentially. So like each year they would have to, you know, so like the first year I think it's like 19, and then after that it's like 16, and then 7, and then like 23 at the end. So like each year has like an option on it. So ultimately, so
it's sort of like a thing. If they don't keep him on the roster, then it's not guaranteed.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yes. So it's structured a little bit differently. But regardless, it's still insane. It's still insane. It's way too much. The guy's terrible. I've been saying that since he came out. I never knew how to evaluate him because he was always wide open in college. Like, how do you evaluate a guy who's always wide open? I don't know, but he hasn't been good. I know there's guys that'll tell you all the yards per route run or whatever the hell metrics they come up with that he was good, but I don't know. I watch football. I don't think he's good. So whatever. I mean, it's more of an indictment on Elijah Moore, I think, at this point, and maybe kind of planning ahead for Amari Cooper to be the last year there. Mike Williams, as far as that goes, that's a 1-year deal. So it doesn't stop them from drafting a receiver because they're going to need somebody beyond this year. So it now just gives them options where they don't have to get somebody immediately. Maybe they can wait. It's a deep class, so maybe they wait to address it till second or third round. You know, just gives them more flexibility. So that's that. The only thing I'll mention about like Cordarrelle Patterson, Damian Harris, Deontay Foreman, I mean, guys, it's March. These running back rooms are going to turn over 3 times before the start of the season, and then 3 more times by, you know, the second month of the season. So doesn't really matter to me. I wouldn't be doing anything with any of that news for the running backs.
And I don't think Deontay Foreman is going to be a hindrance to Nick Chubb if he is somehow healthy and able to,
it's insurance just to make sure
that's what I mean. Work
back in and is healthy and can do it. So it makes sense as an NFL signing.
Exactly.
And he might have some usage early in the year. You know, if I have him on a few rosters, which I do, then that's cool, whatever. But if somebody's willing to give me a pick, I'll probably take it.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you guys. There's not much in this quote-unquote news. I'll just comment as the Eagles fan. Like you said, Scott, I think I never thought the Tush Push wasn't going to be legal for 2024. I'm still not really worried about Barkley in terms of the whole Tush Push thing. I think what's going to help Barkley is that Jason Kelsey's gone. In a way, that in terms of the tush push, it's not going to help him in terms
hurt,
of
it will hurt Hurts and help walking, Barkley.
Yeah,
I agree.
But that's going to, I think the tush push isn't going to be as effective. They're going to come more back to, because a lot of people tried to do the tush push last year and just nobody did it as good as the Eagles. Right. And they're probably going to come back to the pack a little bit. It's not going to be just an automatic first down every single or touchdown every single time they do it either. And once that starts happening, they probably will give it to Barkley a little more. But that'll finish up our new segment. So, Jagger, we usually let the guests decide. Do you want to start with the trades or start with the listener questions?
Let's go with the listener questions.
Okay, we got a few listener questions here. First, from our guy at FF Tommy B, gives a question almost every week. I don't know how to answer this first one. What is the worst place you'd move to 2 year minimum for a free brand new minivan? Is that like a good thing? A free brand? I mean, I guess it's brand new.
I mean, minivans are in, man.
I wouldn't move anywhere. I live in Colorado. I need something with some oomph, you know. Like, I'm not hating on the minivan, it's just like I don't live a minivan lifestyle,
so. Yeah, and I'm a father of four and I've had more than one minivan. This still isn't exciting me, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm very happy that we used to have minivans. Me and the wife were driving minivans. We're my kids are now old enough that we're down to one minivan, and I drive a Sentra, so I'm happy with what I got. I don't really want a free brand new minivan. So I don't know about you, Scott. You didn't chime in on the minivan discussion here.
Well, I drive a Tahoe, so I mean that works for my kids. I got car seats back there. I got room. Let's go. Let's keep going. I'll catch you soon here, Rocky. but I mean, I tried to look up like a luxury minivan, and I mean, first it said Chrysler and I almost puked. So that's not, that's not really exactly what I think of for luxury, but apparently the Pacifica is a $61,000 minivan fully loaded with like all the, you know, everything, right? All the bells and whistles, all the upgrades. Yeah, I don't know. Tommy, the thing is, I'm in real estate, so I know what's going on all across this country with housing prices. And, you know, for a $61,000 minivan, there's virtually nowhere you could move that you would be winning on that. So, yeah, I wouldn't even move across the street, I guess, is
the only way. I'm one of the worst people to ask a where would you move question to anyway. I am like one of the least traveled people you will ever meet. I've not been like
drives a minivan, least traveled.
I've been like on the East
Child's palette. Like, yeah, I mean,
exactly. I haven't been like further west than like going to the expo. Like, that's how.
Come on.
Ohio? That doesn't even count. That's like. Yeah.
I'm trying this to think. Hilarious. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I went to Chicago for a wedding last year.
Okay. That's something. Yeah.
Okay.
I spent 3 or 4 days in Chicago for a relative's wedding. Yeah.
That is something.
But until then, and I am 47 years old, until then, I hadn't been past Ohio. that's how I told you. I'm very not well traveled. Oh, up and down so the East funny. Coast, but that's about it. Anyway, next question, which is actually football related from Tommy. Also, is it time to sell? And it's funny because we have a Drake London trade in here too later on. Is it time to sell Drake London, or will he get steamed up a bit more before the season begins? What do you think, Jagger?
Why? Like, why? I don't get the point. like to me, what are you going to get with Drake London? If you could trade up and get Justin Jefferson or something like that, sure. But like Drake London, we have all the peripherals that like the stats that actually matter. We have the film, we have reception. We have everything in the world that says Drake London is a great player. He just hasn't had a quarterback. So now you want to sell him to get another young player who you can get a discount on because he doesn't have a quarterback or something. Like that's how you get in the perpetual rebuild cycle. Like Drake London is a player that you keep. You don't trade at this point. So
Yeah, I think the implication there is that, you know, he's got the buzz from the Cousins buzz plus Arthur Smith being gone. And I guess the implication there is that he's not going to live up to it. But I'm kind of with you. I wasn't a huge Drake London guy coming out, but like you've said, the peripherals have been there. The target share has been there. When guys command targets, that says a lot to me, even though he hasn't produced a lot. And you know, a lot of other metrics in there as well. But I'm excited about Drake London, actually, which I did not think I would be saying 2 years ago when he came out. But Scott, what about you?
Yeah, I love Drake London coming out. I mean, I still love him. I don't know. I probably won't trade him for really anything at this point, unless it's, you know, to roster construct and, you know, get a quarterback or something. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any recent trades that I like. I mean, he was traded for Jonathan Taylor in one of my leagues. Like, okay, I guess I wouldn't. I'm not trading for a running back.
Yeah, I would never do that. That's
so, I mean, I wouldn't. I don't think the value's terrible, but I mean, I personally wouldn't do it.
Especially a running back going under a second contract.
So, I mean, I understand his value seems like it's going up because everybody says it is, but I haven't really seen any trades where it actually is, so I'm not sure yet.
And if he produces at like 90, 1,210, it's going to go up more, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if he actually does it, it's going to go up more.
I mean, unless he, you know, totally flops, I don't see. And there's finally like a supporting cast, you know, other than it's not just, oh, he got a quarterback. Well, he's actually got a good system, a proven system, and you know, pieces around him that, regardless of what you think, like Mooney is a great role player to have in that offense. You know, he can yeah. So those are all good things for London to get that one-on-one coverage, and you know, he's got to build that relationship with Cousins, and he'll be good to go.
Yeah, I'm with both you guys there. So next question comes from at Bufford9442. And I'm mostly going to leave this one, probably most of these next two, to Jagger, because we like to leave our rookie questions. We don't profess to be rookie experts here, Jagger. So we're leaving these to you, mostly. Maybe Scott can chime in. Where do you view the tier breaks to be for this rookie class? And he says, specifically past the top of the draft. And Superflex feels like there's a pretty clear top 7-8, which is pretty much consensus, I think, at this point. But where, how deep are your tiers past that?
Basically the top five, I think, is a tier if you have actual blue chip roster changing athletes. Like you, that's Malik Nabers. I think this Drake May stuff is wild. Like, could he bust? Yeah, but he's not as bad as people are saying. Like, he's still a good quarterback. And going on a little mini rant, multiple things can be true. Drake May is still good and JJ McCarthy is still good. So like we're just really lucky this year, but I think that we have three good quarterbacks and we have two to three very good wide receivers. I know two of them are good. So let's put that way that that's like a tier five. Then like the next two picks is where your JJ McCarthy, depending on where he ends up drafted, and your Rome Odunze go. And then after that, to me, it's Troy Franklin, Brian Thomas, and AD Mitchell is kind of the end of that because he gets a little lazy in places on there. But to me, definitely, like you said, the top eight are I want to keep those picks unless I'm rebuilding or getting something else. I want to keep them.
One thing I wanted to ask you before you get further into the tiers, in Trade Addicts leagues are 1.75 premium. Where do you put Bowers, Brock Bowers, in there in terms if it's a high tight end premium league?
I mean, I would, to be honest, I know people think that's crazy. I think with that setting, I think that would be need based. If you need a tight end, I would take Brock Bowers 101. I know that sounds crazy, but with that type of scoring and that much of a premium on there, Brock Bowers, I would do that with Kyle Pitts. Same process. I'd still do that. Yeah. Like players like this and these profiles, like they are going to be roster changing. Those are your Travis Kelce's that shift even redraft. So,
so solid eight for TA scoring. If we're looking at that,
100%. Solid eight. Easily.
And then would you agree that basically after that, you could probably go to like I would say the mid second. Some people say all the way through the second, but I think what they're forgetting is that we're going to have landing spots and people will get juiced up from that. You know, there's always going to be guys that land somewhere, you know, some running back will go to Dallas. And then all of a sudden a guy who should really be like a early third will now become a mid second or an early second because, you know, well, they don't have anyone else and who's going to run the ball and blah, blah, blah. And so you're going to just have situations like that, that'll move guys up. So I would say that then it would be like late first to mid second, and then probably mid second to like mid third, if not later. Like there's basically two big tiers after that, in my opinion, at this point. Jagger, tell me that I'm wrong.
No, you're right 100%. Cause that's what I was going to say. It's just a jumble. Cause like, I love Ladd McConkey. I love Roman Wilson. I love A.D. Mitchell's in there too. I love Xavier Worthy. And to me at that point, it's just, who gets the good quarterback? Whoever gets Josh Allen, they are immediately my wide receiver four automatically. Like, I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And we have depth. Another thing, what I think will help go from, let's say, keeping the second round as kind of like a one giant jumble where you're just kind of drafting for need at that point, is if Michael Pratt gets an ideal landing spot. I think that's underrated, but really the running backs. Cause like when I graded the running backs, all of them were like 70 and the scales from like zero to like 99. So like 70 and 60 is like pretty mid. They're not bad, but like, let's say exactly like their guy, if they get an ideal spot, like a Damian Pierce spot, they can move up or something like that. RIP to Damian Pierce later, but I'm just going to let that talk about it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how the running backs fall in that second round. I think the second round is just going to be a crap ton of running backs. But after the early, I guess the early second round, you're still going to get some of them, the high quality wide receivers. Because there's going to be a lot. I guess there's going to be a ton of guys drafted on round two and three. So, get to the last question from at Andrew Hall FF. Who is one rookie running back outside the top 10? I assume he means top 10 running backs in rookie rankings that you
I think he means all rookies.
To clarify this question with him on Twitter, and I believe he said he was talking about.
There are no running backs in the top 10.
Exactly. So it has to be running backs. He means that are going to go into the top three in running backs is what I think he means. And someone that's outside the top 10, that is, say, he lands with the Cowboys or some great landing spot.
So let's just say he means the like
top three.
Like not Trey Benson, not Jonathan Brooks. I personally like Blake Corum. I know some people don't. I think he's a good running back.
I'm a big Blake Corum fan, actually.
Yeah. Jalen Wright is everyone's favorite one, but to me, he's landing spot dependent. I don't think he's like as good as a natural runner as some of these other guys are. He's just really fast and athletic. But besides that, Audric Estime is someone that I think is a little bit better than his 40 time. He reminds me of Ramondre Stevenson. If you like Ramondre Stevenson, Audric Estime could be there and can be that type of player. Another guy I really like is Cody Schrader. He had a terrible combine. His combine did not match his tape whatsoever. Before, like pre-combine, Cody Schrader was my top five running back. He looked really good, and he's really productive in the SEC for Missouri, of all places. They don't particularly have very good rushing stats. So,
yeah, I'm gonna throw two more names at you because the way I'm just reading it is just saying like outside of the top 10 backs. So, a couple guys that I think could be interesting: Frank Gore Jr. and Kamani Vidal.
Ah, that's another.
Any thoughts on those guys?
A couple of times now. Yeah, I'd like to hear. What do you think, especially of Vidal? So he was mentioned by John Lobb on Junkies as well.
Yes.
Vidal again. I could see him being an RB3. Let's put that like he could be small like the RB10. Yeah, he could be the RB10 or the RB3. Like running back, I find it a little bit harder to evaluate in some areas, because when you're in a small school, any type of mid athlete looks really good at running back or something, just how much that translates. But all the stuff looks there. He had a good combine, measured well, size looks well, passes the eye test. To me, it's just like, I don't know, man. How much does the NFL love him? The NFL loves Kamani Vidal a lot. I love Kamani Vidal a lot. You know, so and that's kind of a cop out answer, but again, that's what this running back class is. Yeah, I mean, that's another one that I'm forgetting is Rasheen Ali. I liked it, but he played. That's Marshall, though. He played at Marshall. He looked really good at Marshall, but that's that caveat. So
he tear his biceps at the combine. Was that him?
I don't think that was that him. That's news to me. How did I miss that? Gotta look that up. That's somebody.
Awful. Maybe it could be Scott is just making this up. We don't. You know.
I generally try to make things up to make it sound like I'm really smart. And you know, people can fact check me.
Oh, later. He did get a bicep injury. He did. That's why he wasn't at the combine or pro
day. Okay, got it.
So
got
like, it. Yeah. Okay, so you're not wrong.
Okay, so Scott's half right.
Okay, that's good.
As
hey,
usual.
That's pretty good.
It's better than
than a weatherman. Yeah. It's better than a weatherman in Chicago, let me tell you.
So, it's true.
So Frank in the chat has a question for Jagger. He's a
Let's
quick
go,
question.
Frank.
Why is everyone so down on Keon Coleman? He had great production in two different offenses, and we just write that off, it seems.
Seems like Quentin Johnston with better hands. Has less experience, and at times he looked more nuanced than Keon Coleman. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that Keon Coleman isn't very polished. And gone are the days where you have a pure X who's running fades, posts to be able to be used all over the field, or you're just kind of a role player. So, like, right now, I think best case scenario for him would be a hyper-athletic Zay Jones in an offense, or, you know, Gabe Davis. But compared to the rest of this class where they're just great technicians, like just straight technicians, really, really good. And that's what I mean, like that boy is slippery, stuff like that. I just don't think that he has a very modern game, even does have like those highlight reels. So like, to me, he's a project, and because he's a project, it's hard to rank him highly, because I told everyone last year Quentin Johnston was a project, and then look where he's at, you know.
Yeah, Kiana, I watched him at Michigan State, and so I was very aware of who he was. And you know, we've had Matt Poole on in the past on Junkies, and he's also lives in Michigan. So we talked about Keon Coleman a little bit, but he's a bigger guy, and he's going to be all over the board. He'll be one of those guys that will be drafted anywhere from the late first to like maybe even the third, right? Because even a guy like Lance Zierlein, he comps him to Drake London. And like loves him and all that, and we just talked about how much we love London, but I don't see that at all personally. I don't, but you know, whatever. Lance Zierlein knows a hell of a lot more than I do, so you know, who knows, right? In the right offense, you know, maybe. So landing spot's going to dictate his value pretty significantly, more so than others. Yeah.
Okay, so that's all the questions we have for this week. So we'll move into the trades. Reminder, TA leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium, and 0.05 for return yards. And there are no TA1 trades, so that applies to all these. We had TA8 was very active this week. We actually have a decent amount of trades thanks to TA8. But we're going to start elsewhere. I'm going to start with our one small trade. So I'm going to jump around a little bit. There's actually a couple smaller trades, but one from TA5, guy we talked about earlier, Jerry Jeudy, straight up for the 210. Jagger, do you want the pick or do you want Jerry Jeudy?
I want the pick, but I feel like I could squeeze a fourth or a third out of him. So, like, I would try to do that, but, like, I genuinely would want the pick. Because let's put it this way. As much as I gave, like, I had concerns about Keon Coleman, I'd rather gamble on Keon Coleman than I would Jerry Jeudy at this point. Because, again, Keon Coleman could be something. He's just not there yet, you know. I don't know if Jerry Judy's going to be anybody.
Yeah, it feels like we know the Jerry Judy story at this point, and it's not getting much better than what we've already seen. I don't think going to Cleveland and you know, who knows what Deshaun Watson's going to be. Amari Cooper's there, he's got to deal with. Hell, Elijah Moore's there, he's got to deal with. I kind of liked Elijah Moore coming out more than I like Jerry Judy. But Scott, are you taking the pick there or taking Judy?
So I'm in that league, and I received that offer, and I declined. So I'm not taking Judy. Give me the pick, man.
Yeah, I'm with you both. I think I'd be fine taking the pick there. And then we will move on to the TA8 trades and finish up with the kind of blockbuster we had in TA2 earlier today. Thanks to Brian Haar. Yes. But this is another smaller one that we started off with in TA8. Scott, I'll throw this one to you first.
Darnold.
For the listeners, it is Gabe Davis for Sam Darnold. You care to elaborate?
Quarterback.
I knew you were going to say that. Does it matter to you that the quarterback may start
three
games?
I'll take two games.
Okay. What about you, Jagger?
Darnold. I think Darnold cemented himself as a premium backup, especially for these West Coast air raid offenses. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you guys. I'm not a fan of Darnold at all, but Gabe Davis does nothing for me, especially I think even less so in Jacksonville with Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. And I don't see it.
They could draft a guy still. They should draft a guy.
Is he replacing Zay Jones? Like, what happened to Zay Jones? Because, like, he was pretty good in that role. And then all of a sudden it's just like, hey, the guy who did really well, yeah, you're gone. We're going to just bring in this other guy who's super inconsistent. So I don't know, because I'm pretty sure Zay Jones is still there. I don't know if he's just going to run as the X and you're going to keep Kirk in the slot. I mean, I don't know.
What if this is insurance? Cause Zay Jones has missed a lot of games. So they always have this X out there to free up the slot for Ingram and Christian Kirk. Because like, again, I still think they should draft a guy. Like if Troy Franklin, A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas are there, I don't see why you don't do that unless like a premium tackle's there or something.
And as Russ always mentions, every time Zay Jones goes down, the offense seems to struggle for some reason. So
it's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah. And they need Zay Jones type.
The reason why, and this is frustrating, is because they would move Calvin Ridley out of the slot, and then Calvin Ridley doesn't play as well. And one thing I don't understand why Doug Peterson doesn't get is you can put anybody out there.
Just take up a body.
You could keep Calvin Ridley in the slot. Just keep him at home where he scores points, please. Right. You know?
He was scarred by Jalen Reagor. Peterson is who I'm talking about.
You know what I mean? We were all scarred by Jalen Reagor, Scott.
That's on him.
I was doubly scarred by Jalen Reagor as an Eagles fan and a Reagor drafter. Okay, so the next one, a little more significant pieces involved here. 109 and a 2026 first for Bryce Young, Michael Mayer, and the 302. What are your thoughts, Jagger?
It's 2026 first, but it's still a first. That's a lot for Michael Mayer, in my opinion. So maybe it's a good deal because you have 2 years to figure that out, you know, like you get another pick or something later, but I don't hate giving up your 109 for Bryce Young. It might be a little bit early to make that move because JJ McCarthy could fall to the 109 depending on how your league is set up. That's my biggest complaint. So like maybe I lean the picks right now because I feel like this is a little, I would do this trade in draft. I would not do this right now.
That's kind of where I'm. I kind of lean the picks, and I'm with you. I've said this a million times in this show. When we get picks that are three drafts, which right now there still is three drafts out, I don't value them super highly, even two drafts out. There's obviously a little discount for me. But I'm not even sure I want to give up the 109 for Bryce Young, kind of like you were saying, Jagger. This is a pretty good first round this year. I think even after you get past the top lock guys, there's a lot of interesting prospects. And I'm still not sure what to make of Bryce Young. Like, I feel like he has to improve on last year. Deontay will help some because he'll always be open. But but I don't know. What are your thoughts? I want to get your thoughts on Bryce Young, because he's like I don't know what to do with Bryce Young. I have him in a couple weeks.
I don't know if he sucks, and I'm willing to buy him. But that's what 109 is rich for me. It's legitimate. If it was the 111 or 112, I would do it. Especially if I needed a quarterback, because no matter what people think about Drake May might fall to the 109 depending on team need out in your league or who hates Drake May or JJ McCarthy. So I might do the 109, but I'd buy Bryce Young. I think he's the new Justin Fields, to be honest. He was put in a terrible situation with zero help, and he played bad. I don't see how he could have played good. Cause CJ Stroud actually said the same thing. In more or less words to paraphrase, CJ Stroud said, "I had a good team and I played well. You can't hate on Bryce because the situation is different." That's player speak for my boy got screwed. That's why I'm willing to gamble on Bryce Young again, because his college tape is phenomenal. There's very few holes in it as far as a passer. So I'm gonna lean on that a little bit, and I like Michael Mayer. So that's where I'm at with Bryce Young. I'd buy him, but if I could get JJ McCarthy or Drake May, I would rather have them because they are already probably going to be in better situation than he is with the Panthers.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I was thinking. I'm agreeing with you. 109 is a little high even to buy Bryce Young, and I agree with you. I don't know that Mayer. I like some flashes of what we saw from him last year here and there, but he was a second rounder when he was drafted, and he's done nothing to vault himself to any first, even if it's 2026 to me. So I feel both sides are kind of outweighing the player that you're getting. But what about you, Scott?
Yeah.
Well, let me just start with this. I think everyone on earth knows how much I personally hate Luke Getsy. I actually hate him. But if there's one thing he did, look at my boy Cole Kmet, right? Right?
That's true.
I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I mean, I try to think of every scenario.
Yeah, I'm not even saying you shouldn't buy. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I wouldn't say you shouldn't buy Michael Mayer. Not that I'm down on Mayer.
I
just don't know if I want to give up a first for him any year.
Yeah. No. And I mean, I'm generally trying to buy players I think I can make a profit on, right? Increase the value of my portfolio. So Bryce Young and Michael Mayer are two of those players for me. I'd like to acquire those players because I believe their value is likely to increase. And so in general, yes, I want to acquire them. I think Jagger's exactly right. You make this trade on the clock. If the top eight goes the top eight and you're stuck there at nine and you don't have anyone else that you like. Personally for me, I like JJ a lot more. I think he's going to fall to the late first because I think people won't like him for many reasons, whether they just, Jim Harbaugh or Michigan, they ran the ball 48 times a game or whatever the analysis is. But dude, I've watched this kid since high school, and I mean, he's just incredible. He's an incredible kid. Some coach, some team, or multiple teams are going to fall in love with him, and they're going to draft him very high, and they're going to put him in a position to succeed. So I'm absolutely going to be drafting JJ McCarthy a lot, but I do think he'll fall to the late first. So I'd rather kind of wait and see on that. That's probably ultimately my answer there.
Since we've talked about McCarthy, Frank calls him in the chat Daniel Jones 2.0.
No. I love you, but I just no.
JJ McCarthy has twice the arm Daniel Jones has.
His arm is unbelievable. It's so
he's
good.
He's got a live arm.
It's not, not the elitist of the elite, but it's pretty incredible, man. Some of the throws that he makes are just mind-blowing. you know, sometimes mind-blowingly bad, but also many very, very good ones.
Okay, so we'll move to another trade that involves a not great performing young quarterback so far. Will Levis for the 112, which I thought was kind of interesting. I don't know that I want to pay a first for Will Levis. I was not a Levis guy coming out. He was mostly going at the end of the first in a lot of my drafts, and I was bypassing him every chance I could. So I don't know that I also now want to give up a late first now for him. So to me, this is I'll take the pick. You're probably not, I guess it's possible given what Scott said, if people really are down on McCarthy, he could slide, but I don't think so. If he gets drafted, it sounds like he's going to get drafted top 10. There's talk he could get drafted top 5. So if he goes that high, I don't think he's sliding to the 112. I think we've moved past that. So you might be able to get the QB5 there or something like that. But even still, I don't care. I'd rather take one of the receivers or whoever pops up as like the, you know, great landing spot RB guy or something like that. I don't have any faith in Levis at all. So what about you, Jagger? You with me on Levis, or do you actually have hope for Levis?
I was one of the biggest Levis haters, and then okay. I think he genuinely improved as a rookie.
Okay.
And I think that I don't know what Brian Callahan is as a play caller. The Bengals have a pretty uncreative offense, but I think the Titans had a pretty uncreative passing offense as well. But one thing they are doing is that they're weaponizing this offense. And I think at least for right now, this team has showed me enough to where I think I'm willing to buy Will Levis at that price. But again, this is a caveat. If I don't need Will Levis, I'm not going to draft him there. If I need a quarterback, I will pay and do the need trade and do that. And if JJ McCarthy's there, I'll still take JJ McCarthy. So,
yeah. Agreed. I know Rocky did not like Levis coming out. It's not that I liked him. I just felt
he's just
like
a quarterback.
Yeah, he's just a quarterback. So for me, like it 3 months ago, I probably would have taken the pick, but seeing what the Titans are doing gives me at least hope or the possibility that he should be the starter next year, almost no matter what. Right, like he would just
they look better than the Raiders.
Absolutely tank. Right, I mean that would be the only scenario that he would get benched or whatever. Right, now who knows? Maybe they go and they draft, you know, one of these guys, or maybe they add like a Bo Nix or Michael Penix or something. Like I wouldn't be shocked at any of those scenarios. But I think they're putting that. I don't necessarily want to buy Levis, but like I'm happy for the shares that I have. You know what I mean? Like, and I think here I'll probably just take the quarterback because I don't think you're getting any of the top 4 at 12, and I don't necessarily want the next ones to if I need somebody to start this year.
I will say to Jagger's point earlier, he did the same guy actually the Bryce Young trade and the Will Levis trade are the same guy. And his other quarterbacks are Hal, Pickett, and Ritter. So,
okay.
He definitely needed quarterbacks, and he traded. You know, in both cases, he traded picks to get quarterbacks.
Well, in that could you have packaged?
There definitely was a need there.
Okay, so then I would say, could you have packaged like if you had 9, 12, and a 26 first, you couldn't have comboed any of that for like a higher end quarterback? I mean, maybe he tried. Obviously, we don't know that, but that's you know.
Well, and he had zero before this week. So, you know, you would have probably wanted to get two. So I don't know how you could. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So we'll move on to our next trade. Jackson Smith and Jigba 210 and the 312 for the 110 and the 202. I feel like values on JSN are all over the place. I feel like you're probably a guy that's still in on JSN, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'm still in on JSN, but I don't want to buy him like that. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Like I would rather have the picks here. Like the 110 and 202. Go ahead and give me Ladd McConkey if he's still there. Go ahead and give me Roman Wilson. Guys like that, I think, are pretty good and have a chance to be in a better position. So still like Jason, I'm not going to buy him that way. I'm going to buy him in a package where I unload something to get JSN plus picks or something like that. Like
leverage trade.
I would buy, exactly. I would buy JSN by getting the 110 plus JSN. I know that's not like possible in every scenario, but that's like what I would try to do.
Yeah, I had actually been trying to do that in a scenario for a guy, the next trade that we're going to get to, that I was selling somebody. I was trying to get JSN in a package, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I agree with you. I think this, I feel like you shouldn't need to give up the 110 and the 202 for JSN at this point. Even I know he was a very good prospect coming out, and I know we can't overvalue situation, but I do think the situation is still bad. Lockett and Metcalf are both still going to be there this year. The quarterback situation is a mess to me. I have no belief in Geno Smith at all, and or Sam
Howell. Howell, you mean?
Yeah, or Sam Howell. So. It's hard to see. I think it could be year four before he could have significant production, because they got to figure out the quarterback and they've got to get one of those receivers, I think, a little more out of, you know, get Lockett out of there to give him to help make sure he gets a better target share. But what about you, Scott?
So Seattle's kind of an enigma because we don't know. I mean, we know what Ryan Grubb is. We know what his offense looks like. We know it was incredibly successful, but is it going to translate to the NFL, and is he going to tweak it and adjust it in any way? I mean, if he runs the offense like he did last year, there's definitely room for three receivers to thrive in that offense. So I don't know. I think I'll lean slightly JSN right now just because I could see a scenario and where his value goes up quite a bit. But I mean, I think Jagger's ultimately right, because with the 10, essentially the 10th and the 14th or 15th pick, I guess, because there's the 113, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, you're getting two shots instead of one. So I totally understand that. But I think I'd be willing to add JSN for that. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think
I just have a hard time seeing his value go up this year. He would have to just – the volume would have to go up, and or he would have to just command more, like just be so good that he's commanding more targets. And maybe that can happen, but I need to see it first. I'm not sure.
It's a new offense, so we don't know who the preferred guy is going to be, right? That's true. Because it's just, I think there's opportunity there, and it's not a cost that you can't swallow.
Okay, so this next one, normally we just throw it out there and don't provide context, but I feel I need to provide context because this is my trade, and one side probably sounds better than the other. It's Brock Purdy for a 2025 first on the sheet. The context, this is my first. The further context, I am trying to tear my team down. I am hoping this is the 2025 101 or 102. So, and the third part of the context that Scott definitely knows is that I've never been a big Purdy believer anyway. So, but I felt like would I sell Purdy for a random 2025 first? No, I was paying the get my first back tax. And I think if I can make this pick, and I still need to do some selling because I have a lot of old guys. It's not, I actually think I just missed the playoffs last year. I probably could have just made it or just missed again. I have like Adams and Diggs and Purdy and Stafford and Henry. I a lot of older guys besides Purdy. And some other pieces too. So I got to tear it down. I'm trying to tear it down. I did not want to tear it down until I could get my first back. This is Tyler in TAA, and he was making me pay for it. So what do you think of this kind of deal where you're getting your own first back and I'm sending Purdy off for just that pick? Whoever wants to chime in first.
I'm thinking you're playing 4D chess. Kind of, and the fact that you have your own controlled first matters, because like you said, you're going to sell off and really tear down, so that does matter to me. I'm not a Brock Purdy believer either. I think Brock Purdy is good enough to make Shanahan happy, but that'll go as far as they keep losing Super Bowls. So that's just that. That's showbiz, baby. So I think I lean the first with your scenario, like you said, with your scenario.
Yes. Yeah, like I said, if I thought this was a mid-2025 first and I had no control over it, no, I would not be doing that. But Scott, mm-hmm. what about you?
Yeah, it's the context is everything. I mean, I'm taking Purdy in that, you know, in a vacuum, essentially there all day. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it makes sense to get your own pick back and the fact that you'll be able to control it being a high pick. You know, even though I couldn't tell you who the quarterbacks will be in that class, but probably better than, yeah, well, no, it would be Shakir Sanders and Quinn Ewers, yeah. I guess. And then hopefully some magical unicorn that comes out of nowhere, you know, like a Joe Burrow, basically. But
Jalen yeah. Milroe could be yeah. good. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I don't yeah, know. Yeah. Milroe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some guys there. Regardless, you'll be able to utilize that pick a lot more to your roster construction, you know, like Jagger.
And also to add further context, I have zero like draft capital going like in 2025. So I wanted to get, you know, something there. And I yeah, hope, to get, hope, obviously, my pick can be super high. And then I'm hoping to sell off some of these guys for more, probably 2025 picks. I think it'll be easier to move some of these older guys for 25 picks than right now for 24 picks while yes. everyone's got rookie fever. So,
yes.
So, yeah. And of course, from all accounts, 2025 draft is not as good as this year. So, of course, now I'm getting all 2025 picks, but whatever.
That's how it works.
Yes. But we'll move on to our final trade. This is a blockbuster. Brian Haar, former co-host of the Trade Addicts Pod, sent this to me. I tweaked it very slightly, adding the part with the seconds in there. Basically, it is Joe Burrow, Drake London, a 2025 first, and the 205 for the 101, the 105, the 108, and the 210. So there's a lot going on there. Again, Burrow, London, 25 first, 205 for 101, 105, 108, 210. Which side do you want, Jagger?
In a vacuum, because this is a move I would try to do if I just somehow acquired a 101, a 105, and a league winner. Like this stuff happens. But to me, you're getting what I think are two anchor positions that are pretty – we have more data to say that they're going to be anchor players – for the price of like probably anchor players, but and then you're going to be 25 first, so you're kind of just re-rolling the 108 and kicking the can down the road. Doesn't work out for you, then like okay, I'm assuming you have an extra first for next well. So like you're this is a win now and help my future trade. And the 205, they're still we talked about this. They're still good receivers there, and like. And let's put it this way. Let's say Trey Benson becomes a Cowboy or something like that. You know, so that's why I lean that. But
I will tell you, I got the player side. I did not. I am not contending this year, but I still thought Burrow and London were good rebuild pieces. Yeah. Burrow's a little older than I think most people think he is. But I don't care. Yeah. Yeah, he's like late 20s where, yeah. You know, I think people think of him as younger than that. But I'm not worried about quarterback age until you hit like 35. So
yeah. You mean 45?
And, yeah. and Drake London, we talked about earlier. I think this is only like my second London share because I was not in on him in rookie drafts or even in the second year. So I've been trying to acquire London. I didn't even to me. Like you said, I kind of looked at it exactly as you laid it out. Like, I'll take Burrow over Caleb Williams. I will take London over the 105 because, like you said, we have more. Obviously, 105 could be Neighbors, who looks great. But we have more to show that Drake London is good. And not that he's produced fully yet, but like you said, the peripherals to show that he is good in the NFL. He does command targets in the NFL. And he's in a good situation as far as we know right now. With Cousins there now. So it could be that, you know, Malik Nabers could still go a lot of 105s and be with, like, the Giants or something. So, or the Patriots or something like that. So, well, maybe not the Patriots, but the Giants. I don't, unless the Patriots trade down, I guess. But just saying that, that even if knowing how to have Burrow, you know, knowing what Burrow is, I, knowing what London likely is with Cousins, and then, like you said, I expect that 25 first to be no worse than probably the 108, and then I get the pick upgrade in the second. So that's how I laid it out in my brain. But Scott, what do you think before we finish up here?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I did too, is just look at it and go, I mean, okay, if you know, if this equals that, whatever. I mean, you could make the argument, you know, what if it's you know, Bijan, Stroud, and, you know, Addison, right? Would you rather have, you know, let's just, you know, go back a year and plug some guys in, right? Would you rather have Bijan, Stroud, and Addison? Like, I probably would. But at the same time, you know, what if it's Bryce Young and Quentin Johnston? And, you know, I mean, so obviously we know how it can go with picks. So I think it's really just where your team's at, and then the risk that you're factoring in with the rest of your team. Like, do you have a bunch of young high upside guys already? Do you have, you know, some older established veterans? Like, rebuilding a team with picks is great. Obviously that's what we all try to do, and having three top eight picks in this class is amazing. It's definitely the right class for it. And so I think there's tremendous upside there, but you're also mitigating the risk a little bit. And by getting that 25 first back, I think is just huge, because it gives you so much flexibility. And I just don't see, you know, those players, maybe there's a higher upside from the players that Har could draft, but there's also significantly lower floor, right? 6 months from now, a year from now, you want to go a different direction, you can move Burrow or London if you want.
That's what I was going to say. Burrow and London are both guys I think at worst are going to hold very high value through this year. Yeah. London, I especially think, could increase in value if he really produces on a high end, like wide receiver one level. And like you said, getting the other first back was huge too. I was actually talking with Har about it in DM today after we did it, and it doesn't sound like he's sort of retooling. He's got some pieces to go with these rookies, but he's not like crazy stacked with other players, and he's going to be having, depending on a lot of rookies, if he keeps these picks. But he could also trade.
He has the flexibility now. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so I'm not sure Har's like winning the title, so I don't think this is going to be like 111. I don't even think he thinks he's winning the title this year with this trade. So okay. Yeah. I don't think this is like I said, I expect this pick to probably be at worst in that 108, 109 range of 25, which maybe that's not as good as the 24, 108, or 109. We'll see. But it also, there's the chance that pick could be 104 for all we know. So and either way, I have my own first, so I'll have two firsts as of right now in the 25
class. It's a good trade. You know, maybe you won from the player side, but Har won from the fun side.
Okay. Yes, he did. And I was looking forward to making those picks too. Like I said, he offered this to me. I wasn't looking to shop these picks, and then he sent this to me, and I was like, whoa. Like 99% of the emails I open from NFL, I'm just like, yeah, that's trash. And then Har sends it, and I was like, oh, crap. And then, of course, he sends it on Monday night, and he even puts in the comments, this would be a fun one to talk about on the pod. So he knew when to time this.
He knows how to
genius.
Get
you. Genius.
Good job,
that's 40 chess. That's 40 chess. Yes.
But yeah, so it was close enough for me that that pods thing might have pushed it over, so that would give us something fun to talk about. But that is our last trade. So that is the end of our show sheet, which means that's the end of our show. Jagger, I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and I want to give you a chance to remind everybody again who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, as always on Twitter, I'm at Fantasy Blue Chip. I post all my content to there. Then I work for Football Guys. We already have our rookie guide out where we talk about over 150 prospects. And then we're having some prospect videos made for YouTube. And those are dropping periodically.
Sounds great. So yeah, everybody go find Jagger stuff. He's awesome. He knows way more about these rookies than me and Scott do. So, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So go follow him, go, read his stuff. Very smart guy. But also I want to thank Scott for coming on with me tonight. Once again, you can find him at Scott_Sidlow. I am at Dynasty FF Addict. Make sure you're following the pod and the Dap Network on Twitter, on YouTube, all those places, ratings, reviews, all that good stuff. Make sure you're following Fantasy Cares and keeping up with what they're doing and supporting Fantasy Cares. Obviously, you all know Russ is heavily involved in that, and a lot of good stuff going on over there. And also need to plug the Patreon. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can see our lovely faces while we're recording. You can get in the DAP network, the Trade Addicts Discord. Lots of good stuff, lots of good discussion going on in there pretty much every day. But I think that's everything to plug here. So with that, I will say good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Pod, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.